Now we go overseas. You are listening to a podcast from the Historical Society Listoria, Bremen, Germany, in cooperation with volunteers in the United States. Act 4, A Home Far Away from Home. Emigration becomes immigration. Hessian contributions to American history of the 17th and 18th centuries.
Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door.
When the poet Emma Lazarus wrote her poem, The New Colossus, in 1883, for the pedestal of the Statue of Liberty, the work was not yet finished. The Jewish sculptor Bartholdy from Colmar is still working on the monumental statue. For the 6-meter thick walls of the statue, cement is applied from a Muneborg made with lime from the Biebrich quarry. No less than 8,000 barrels. Liberty Illuminates the World is the original title of the statue in the shape of the Roman goddess Libertas, a gift from the French to the American people. When the Statue of Liberty was inaugurated on Bedloe's Island in New York Harbor in 1886, several generations of Hessians and people from many other countries had already made a pilgrimage across the Atlantic. Life had written many migration stories during this time, with and without a happy ending. We want to tell some of these stories and describe how the legal situation had changed since the 17th century.
In 1660, Jakob Leisler, the penniless son of a pastor from Bockenheim, comes to America. He will get extremely rich, then become mayor of New York, will be hanged for alleged high treason and later rehabilitated.
In 1682, Pietists join forces to form the Frankfurter Land Company, which wants to settle in North America. Nothing will come of it. But their negotiator, the Franconian lawyer Franz Pastorius, is present in 1683 when Krefeld Quakers and Mennonites found Germantown in Pennsylvania. And he has published a proclamation against human trafficking.
Although they are black, we cannot see that there would be a greater justification for keeping them as slaves than if we were dealing with whites. It is said that we should treat all people without distinction of sex, race, or skin color as one would like to be treated. There is freedom of belief here, but there should also be freedom of the body.
That was the Upper Hessian version of the klezmer song Alle Brieder, a about the brotherhood and sisterhood of man. An audio from the Benefit Choir concert at the Kulturtage Alsfeld in 2022.
In 1754 begins the French and Indian War. The French fight the British for 9 years. Both armies had Indian allies. One of the career officers in the service of the British, Georg Schneider from Fellingshausen near Gießen, keeps a diary about the war as well as his first encounter with indigenous people in Albany.
The white or Indian men's persons are also well-grown strong men, black, brown in color, and like the Moors or Tatern, some have bent dog noses. Then they cut off their earlobes, so that they are only a little attached, and weave a silver stand around them. In the nose, they usually wear a ring of silver or a piece of silver carved into a figure. Around the arms, above the elbows, they wear a broad silver ribbon in which the name of the nation and the acts of its heroes is engraved.
In 1776, Americans write and sign the Declaration of Independence, which officially starts the revolution. The document circulates also in German. At this time, about 10 out of 100 inhabitants of the colonies are of German origin.
In 1777, the 57-year-old gingerbread baker Christoph Ludwig from Gießen, who has seen the world, is appointed chief baker of the Independence Army by Congress. Meanwhile, 12,000 men from Hessen-Kassel, who were leased to the colonial power by the sovereign, are fighting on the side of the British. Christoph Ludwig can stand the thought, and he pities these soldiers. In the publication, Der Deutsche Pionier, the German Pioneer, from October 1876, Ludwig is quoted, "Bring the Hessian prisoners of war to Philadelphia. Show them our beautiful German churches, let them try our roast beef, and show them our household goods. And then send them back to their fellow men, and you will see how many of them will surrender."
In 1781, the German Society is founded in Philadelphia, and 3 years later, the one in New York.
In 1783, the War of Independence ends with the Treaty of Paris.
In 1790, the laws stipulate that immigrants could become naturalized after a minimum stay of 2 years.
In 1819, ship captains are told to keep lists of immigrants' names and submit them upon arrival in the US.
In 1823, the 20-year-old Wilhelm Bernbeck from Gleiberg doesn't finish his law studies in Gießen, emigrates to the United States, and joins the Texas struggle for independence against Mexico in 1836. At about the same time, his family in Germany connects with the Münch family.
In 1837, Georg Münch from Niedergemünden, the younger brother of Friedrich Münch of the Gießen Immigration Society, and Charlotte Strack from Gleiberg, a niece of Wilhelm Bernbeck and great-granddaughter of the soldier George Schneider, who has returned to Germany, married. Mr. and Mrs. Münch emigrate to Missouri. Georg founds one of the first wineries in the United States together with his brother. In 1837, Friedrich Ludwig Weilig dies in Darmstadt prison, where he had been held for 2 years in isolation without a trial. The head of school from Butzbach and reverend of Oberglin has been so desperate that he committed suicide. Other leaders of the social revolution also died in this year or fled to America. We hear a song written by Monika Felsing, sung by a project choir in a benefit concert for Reporters Without Borders at the Alsfelder Kulturtage in 2022, to the melody of Puccini's O Mio Bambino Caro. The lyrics say, in these dark days, when human rights didn't count, you could read secretly how wonderful the world could be. Once the police came and took Weidich away and showed no mercy and left without a word. Time stood still, dreams did die when freedom was murdered.
In 1843, 21-year-old Anna Margarete Schmidt leaves her hometown of Haunetal-Kruspis in Hesse and marries Johann Heinrich Heinz, a native of Rhineland-Palatinate in Pennsylvania. Her chutneys are so well received that her son Henry John I founds a ketchup empire.
In 1845, Prince Karl von Solms-Braunfels becomes General Commissioner of the Association for the Protection of German Emigrants to Texas, founded by him and other aristocrats. He settles 300 Germans in Texas, which has recently belonged to Mexico, calls the place New Braunfels, and returns to Hesse. Some know him by his nickname, Texas Carl.
In 1847, New York State establishes an immigration office. The commissioners of immigration are supposed to put a stop to the immigrant runners, shady characters who rob immigrants of their belongings. In the same year, the widow Hannah Hecht from Langenschwarz in Hesse arrives in Baltimore with her sons Samuel Jr. and Reuben. Samuel Hecht will make his way from peddler to owner of a large department store chain.
In 1849, 20-year-old Heinrich Lomp, a carpenter from Burghaun, goes to the United States. He takes a stake in an optician's shop that will later become famous with Ray-Ban glasses. August Becker, a member of parliament from Hesse, flees to the USA. As a companion of Georg Büchner, Friedrich Ludwig and Amalie Weidich, he has been imprisoned at a young age. After his amnesty, he goes into exile in Switzerland in 1839 and does not return to Gießen until 1848. He stands for election and becomes a member of the second chamber of the Estates for an Upper Hessian constituency. When the political opponents of the revolution turn back the clock, he leaves Germany again, this time for good. In the USA, August Becker first works in a circus, then until his death as an editor in Cincinnati, New York, Baltimore, and Washington. During the Civil War, he becomes field chaplain in the Steuben Regiment.
In 1855, the former Castle Garden Artillery position is converted into a receiving station for all those who had traveled on the Tween Deck.
In 1857, 18-year-old Adolf Busch from Kastel goes to the United States. After marrying Lily Anheuser, the daughter of a beer brewer from the Palatinate, he advances the business with his ideas. He has a summer residence, Villa Lily, built in Hesse, near his hometown. And there he will also die. His body returns to the United States.
In 1858, Johann Georg Will from Launsbach emigrates to the USA. What happened to him is told in an open-air museum, the Hessen Park, not far from Frankfurt.
In 1859, Friedrich Münch publishes Der Staat Missouri, geschildert mit besonderer Rücksicht auf deutsche Einwanderung in New York.
In 1862, with the Homestead Act, the U.S. government offers land in certain areas to all settlers if they agree to cultivate it for at least 5 years.
In 1866, 15-year-old Christoph J. Tebbins from Leer in East Frisia emigrates with his family from Bremerhaven to New York on the sailing ship Shakespeare. His memoirs can be read on the website of the Heimatmuseum Leer. Gabriele Gondacari, an American citizen born in Hamburg with roots in Hesse, has once recorded the song Panis Angelicus for a project of the Historical Society La Storia, Bremen. In 1872, composer César Franck had set the hymn of Thomas of Aquin from the Middle Ages into music. The lyrics in free translation. The bread of the angels becomes the bread of human beings. The bread from heaven turns imagination into figure. How wonderful that is! The poor, devout servant eats the Lord. We pray to you, triune, unique God. Visit us as we adore you. Lead us on your paths to the light you are living in. Amen. Gabriele, born in 1954, migrated as a child. Her father and her mother went with her to Southern California in 1961. The family story has been told in the first part of our podcast.
Figuris terminum.
In 1875, the first laws are passed to exclude groups. From now on, convicts and prostitutes are no longer allowed to emigrate to America, and Friedrich Münch's guidebook for Missouri is published again, this time in Bremen under the title Der Staat Missouri, ein Handbuch für deutsche Auswanderer.
In 1882, the Immigration Act limits, among other things, immigration from China. Previously, Chinese have been met with hostility in California, and for the next 10 years, no more Chinese will be allowed to immigrate, and no Chinese will be naturalized. Former convicts and the mentally handicapped are excluded from entering the U.S., and later anarchists from Tsarist Russia and other countries, epileptics, tuberculosis sufferers, and professional beggars are also blacklisted. The poorest of the poor, anyway. Anyone who threatens to become a burden on the American state is not allowed to immigrate. An immigration tax is levied.
In 1883, the German Society of the City of New York publishes a free Ratgeber für deutsche Einwanderer, advice for German immigrants, including a city map for the southern part of New York, which at this time is considered the third largest German city in the world, after Berlin and Vienna. The book also includes a floor plan of Castle Garden and the names of the European correspondents for money transaction in Hesse, for example, in Kassel, Darmstadt, and Frankfurt am Main.
In 1887, two trade unionists from Hesse and one from Bremen are hanged in Chicago. George Engel from Kassel and August Spies from Friedewald near Bad Hersfeld had organized a strike lasting several days together with other labor leaders for better working conditions on the 1st of May, the day on which jobs were traditionally changed or employment contracts extended in the U.S. Flyers in English and German are distributed for a mass rally on the Haymarket. During the rally, a bomb had been thrown into the crowd. 12 people died on the spot, among them a policeman, and others died in hospital. Though there was no evidence who had thrown the bomb, August Spies, George Engel, Albert Parsons, and Adolf Fischer were held responsible and sentenced to death. "You can't live as an animal for eternity," August Spies had said on the Haymarket, and to those who had sentenced him to death, "Time will come when our silence is more powerful than the voices you suffocate today." The 29-year-old Adolf Fischer, a typesetter from Bremen, anarchist and father of three children, is said to have cried out before he was hanged, "Hooray for anarchy! This is the happiest moment of my life." In consequence of these events, the 1st of May is declared to be Labor Day. Several decades later, women who worked on rice fields in northern Italy used to sing a protest song, "Ciao Bella Ciao." You hear an Upper Hessian version. "Ciao Lina Ciao" tells the story of someone who is leaving his home country, hoping for a better life and for workers' and women's rights.
Ich muss jetzt gehen, kann nicht gebleiben. Ciao Lina, ciao Lina, ciao Lina, ciao, ciao, ciao. Denn das hier, das ist kein Leben, das wissen wir doch ganz genau. Ich huge erwelt, naut wie geerwelt und hat doch Hunger und Durst alle Zeit. Ich will zu Haut, Hut aus anderen Leben und wünscht es wie
In 1891, the Office of Immigration is established as a division of the United States Treasury.
You have been listening to the podcast Now We Go Overseas, a free production from the Historical Society Lestoria Bremen with volunteers
in the US and in Bremen and Hesse. Narrator Susan Eldridge Nee Badenhausen. Poem by Emma Lazarus, Erika Thies, Wopswede. Franz Pastorius, Thoralf Dunkel, Bremen. Folk music from Russia, accordion, Laura Schneider and her grandfather on Christmas 2014 in the Church of Oberglin. Panis Angelicus, Gabriele Gonda Carey in the US. Composer César Franck. At the piano, Stephanie Poole Young. Alle Brieder and In These Dark Times. Songs from the benefit concert for Reporters Without Borders at the Alsfelder Kulturtage 2022 with Veronika Blömers at the piano, leading the concert. Hans-Peter Klein, Bianca Harich, Arnulf Triebel, Helmut Mess, Elisabeth Wagner, Regina Weller, Peter Jerabeck, Claudia Munsch, Monika Felsing, Anna Thum and Rebecca Bachmann. Timeline: Ingo Behrens and Rolf Rollo Schmidt. Christel Schippmann, Monika Felsing and Kritika Tapa.
Written by and final technical editing by Monica Felsing. English version directed by Susan Eldridge. Copyright in Connecticut, United States, and in Bremen, Germany, 2023 and 2024. The Historical Society Lestoria wishes to thank every volunteer who participated in this transatlantic project about migration, as well as everyone who performed the research and published information from which this was written. Our podcast consists of 6 parts. The original version is in German. The German historian Monika Felsing used AI for initial translations of her manuscript from German to English, which was then revised with help from Susan Eldridge Nee Badenhausen. The English and German parts of the podcast are online in the United States at badmorgen.wordpress.com. That's badmorgen.wordpress.com. In Germany, you can find them at monikafelsing.de. That's monikafelsing.de. The manuscripts and bibliography will be available at a later date. If you would like to listen to them, please don't hesitate to contact us in Germany at mail@lestoria-bremen.de or in the United States at badmoregenealogy@gmail.com. Our next podcast will be Part 5 in The Light of Lady Liberty's Torch, How Immigrants Experienced Their Arrival on Ellis Island. Copyright, all rights reserved. Public performance only with the permission from the Historical Society Lestoria, Bremen, Bremen, Germany, and Connecticut, USA, 2023 and 2024.